Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers on the broadcast today. It's a brand new legislative session, and we have an all-pundit show with Dan Mason, Sean Carey, and James Smack on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
From your house to the White House, the folks at D&D Roofing can get it fixed with their eyes closed.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Safety is the number one priority for the trucking industry. Over $7 billion a year is spent on technology like this electronic eye that will apply the brakes automatically. But the most important factor for safety is the truck driver. These hardworking men and women who safely move over 70% of our nation's freight and 94% of Nevada's. We thank you because trucks move America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Chan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Chan.
Back on Nevada Newsmakers, it's an all-pundit show. These are always my favorites. Dan Mason is here, the program director for News Talk 780 KOH, and he is also the morning host. And you can call in and talk to him every morning, and he will be happy to hear from you.
That's right. You can even yell if you want.
Sean Carey is here, the political commentator, and James Smack, former Nevada Republican National Committeeman. Pleasure to have you all here. As we're taping this, this is the first day of the legislature. What are your hopes and fears?
Well, I have the usual fear, because the first thing that happens is there's a feeding frenzy to see how many bills we can introduce. I'm hearing 1,200 is the magic number so far, which means there'll probably be a whole lot more than that by the time it's all said and done. There's a curiosity factor in this for me, because I've said on my radio show, I don't think Governor Sisolak's going to be as far to the left as some people would like him to be, and I'm fascinated to see how that plays out.
Sean?
I happen to agree, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens from the governor's mansion. I think he's going to be a very, very different kind of leader than Sandoval was, and this legislature is pretty, they're ripe to bear, so we'll see what happens.
James?
It's going to be interesting to watch. I tend to agree with both of the other panelists, so I don't think that Governor Sisolak is going to be really pushing the real hard left agenda at this point in time. I think that would be something that'll wait for a future legislative session, if it even happens at all. Governor Sisolak has tended to govern from the middle most of the time. He was on the Las Vegas City Council, Clark County Commission, and I think that's where he's going to continue to govern. I don't think he's going to be real hard to the left. Will we see some things like collective bargaining for state employees and that type of thing perhaps make its way through? That's very possible, but I don't think you're going to see a lot of the hard left agenda. And it's going to be interesting to see how the left of the Democrat Party reacts to that. I think that's going to be more interesting to see how that plays out versus whether there's going to be a lot of interesting fireworks during the legislative session.
You know, one of the things that Marsha Birkbigler, who was on the show yesterday, was talking about, which is with all the freshman legislators coming in, they all have their own agendas from what they ran on during their campaigns, but the wall that they run into is the process, and that they don't understand initially how the process works. And that can certainly slow things down.
Well, and especially because in spite of all the new people that are there and the female majority legislator, leadership's relatively unchanged, so I don't think we're going to see anything too radical.
Okay, and that brings up an interesting point. Ms. Birkbigler was also talking about how excited she is that you have this female majority at the legislature. It's the largest in the country, and she feels that women respond to things differently, that the level of anger at the end of the session will not be the same as it was in past years.
I think that's very, very true. And to your point about having so many freshmen, not being able to find the bathrooms in the Capitol is a problem that's easily remedied and quickly. And there's a lot of people to help them. There's a lot of lobbyists that are willing to help them. And I think that many of these freshmen came in with a mandate and they're going to be really working toward it. And the interesting question as far as how Sisolak is going to be running the whole entire thing is he going to be able to keep control of the conversation, or are these legislators going to take the mic away from him? That's my question.
Okay, James, my thought is that most of the governors in recent years, with the exception of Jim Gibbons, have become more statesmanlike rather than being aligned to their party, especially the Republicans over the years. Mm-hmm. And it seems like going in, Steve Sisolak is already in that position that he is a Democrat. But I've said on this program before, I think that in Clark, he had to be a Democrat in Clark County, otherwise he wouldn't have gotten elected. If he were anywhere else, he would have probably been a Republican. So is he going in as a statesman in the first term?
It could be. I've told people, I said, I don't have as much fear of a Sisolak administration as some. I don't think it's going to be a lot different than the Sandoval administration was. I think you're going to see a lot of, it'll be a little bit more center-left versus center-right. There'll be some minor things. There'll probably be a little bit of gun control legislation that gets through, but it's going to be the major thing. It's going to be things like the bump stock ban and things like that. I don't think you're going to see something as draconian as what one of the bills up in Oregon limiting people to buying 20 rounds of ammunition per month in the state of Oregon. I don't think you're going to see anything like that. You might see the bills get drafted for that, but I don't think you're going to see anything like that even hit as far as a committee hearing. And I think that they're just going to recognize that while Governor Sisolak was elected with a liberal mandate, that doesn't necessarily mean that's the way he's going to govern.
Do you agree?
To a degree, I think so. It's going to be interesting to watch. I think he will maintain the narrative. I don't think things are going to be as kooky as Washington, D.C. Goodness, how could it be? One of the things I'm concerned about is the economy's doing great. They're flush with money. Try to resist the temptation to spend it all. That would be my request.
And are there certain items that you look at and go, those are the ones that scare me?
Well, the collective bargaining discussion scares me. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's a good omen for the future of our state.
For state workers, of course.
Yeah.
And how do you feel about that, Sean?
About collective bargaining?
For the state employees.
I think that they should have it. I think it's important to be able to get an education and have a career and be able to take care of yourself afterward. With the lengthy pay freezes and things that have happened over so many years because of the budget crunches, you know, being able to work together as a group to get better health care and better benefits is not a problem. You know, I like to say I pay a living wage to my employees, and I think that everybody should.
James? And you were a state employee.
I was a state employee until just a couple weeks ago. And one thing, I think the tenor for getting collective bargaining for state employees is there. And I think that's something that's going to bear watching and may very well get passed during this legislative session. That being said, the one thing that I will tell that I've asked the new governor and asked the legislature, continue to pay attention to the rainy day fund. Continue to put money back. We just 10, 12 years ago went through one of the largest economic depressions or recessions or whatever you want to call it that we have seen in most of our lifetimes. It may happen again, and when it does happen again, we need to have the money to continue to sustain the state. You bring collective bargaining to the state, what you're going to run into more so is instead of being able to use furlough days and do things like that and say, okay, well, we're balancing the budget on the back of state employees. Okay, collective bargaining is just going to mean we're going to RIF notice every state employee that's 5 years or less and eliminate those positions instead to balance the budget. it's something to be cautious of, and that's what happened with the school systems during the recession. There were a lot of young new teachers that were given RIF notices and basically sent packing during that time because the union contract didn't allow them to cut their salaries or benefits or anything like that. So there's a cautionary tale there. Collective bargaining can be a good thing, but it can also be a double-edged sword and can be very hurtful to the state, especially newer state employees.
Sean, how do you respond to that?
Well, I think that when we live in a time where teachers are having to literally walk off the job to be able to get a 2-3% raise that they haven't had in a decade, that's a problem. And not saying that that's happening here in Nevada, but it happened West Virginia and a couple of different states here recently. That's not how we should be doing things here in this country, especially when you're dealing with an educated workforce. I understand that the whole thought that, you know, people could be in danger of losing their job because their contract will not allow for their wages to be cut, but that's not a reason to not pay people properly. Here, you know, I work in the private sector. If I pay my employees no money, they can go on to work somewhere else. But when you're working in the public sector, a lot of times you're in a different marketplace altogether, and those opportunities are not necessarily available.
No, you become beholden to things like pensions and that type of thing too. That really put the golden handcuffs on you as a public employee as well. So there's things there that are not necessarily even available in the private sector anymore. Very
Correct.
Few private sector employees offer a pension anymore or anything like a defined benefit plan like what we have for the state of Nevada. And maybe that should be looked at the same time we're looking at collective bargaining. Do we continue with the defined benefit plan or do we start looking at a hybrid plan?
Dan, you want a last word on this?
My only concern with the whole collective bargaining thing going forward is the cost. What is the potential cost to the state? And is it going to be prohibitive down the road? I think possibly it can be.
All right, let's take a break. More with our pundits after this.
Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot with over 450 of the latest slots and video games. Sully's Sports Bar, the Dining Car Restaurant, William Hill Sportsbook, and the Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge. We're just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, go to homeenergyexperts.com for details. That's homeenergyexperts.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
The Tamarack Junction Steakhouse is known for signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. Join us Thursdays and Friday nights from 4:30 to 6:30 in the Steakhouse Lounge for live music, gourmet plates, and well-priced wines just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Back on Nevada Newsmakers, it's an all-pundit show with James Smack, Sean Carey, and Dan Mason. When you look at this legislative session, does it concern you that the Republicans have almost zero control? I mean, you know, if one Republican gets peeled off, the Democrats have two super majorities.
Elections have consequences. what are you going to do? You're kind of stuck, and you do what you can do to slow down what the other side wants to do, but you know, it's a pretty big majority. Their options are limited. There's just no way around it.
So is the danger then, the Democrats, Sean, go too far to the left?
I think there's a definition that needs to be put forth as to what is too far to the left, because here's one of the problems with the Nevada Republicans. They have not figured out this is a shiny, bright, blue state. Nevada is a blue state. We are not a swing state. We are not a purple state. We are a blue state. And that is the way it is going to be. And so, no, I don't think there's going to be a problem with going too far to the left. Like, back to my point from the previous segment, this is where Sisolak needs to make sure that he's keeping both eyes open when he's dealing with the legislature, so that the legislature doesn't take away the pulpit from him.
I think that is an overstatement in terms of the state being a blue state. I think Washoe County is still a toss-up, depending on who the president is.
Call Jackie Rosen and ask her.
I would be happy to. James?
I actually tend to agree with Mr. Curry's assessment as a Republican. I think we are a blue state at this point in time. I think you're going
irreversibly
to
irreversibly so?
I don't think we're irreversibly so at this
point.
Because
it's only 4 years ago that we were definitely a purple state.
What I'm looking at, when I started to have concern about what was going to happen to the Republicans was right after the election in 2016 when Trump won. I said, this is going to be a major motivating factor for the Democrat Party to get their folks out, get their butts to the polls, get them the vote, and we've got a very realistic possibility of losing everything that we gained in 2014 as far as the constitutional offices went, as far as the legislature went, as far as holding on to one of the two Senate seats, as far as potentially even picking up one of the congressional districts again. None of it happened. We lost the Senate seat, supermajority in the Assembly, one seat away from a supermajority in the Senate. Five of the six constitutional offices are now held by Democrats, where all six were held by Republicans after 2014. Now, that being said, President Trump goes down to defeat in 2020 let's go with Kamala Harris. And I think that Kamala Harris is the one that frightens me as a Republican the most, as the person that has the best opportunity to become the next president of the United States. I'll say that here and now. I've said that to my friends. I'm not afraid to say it. I think Kamala Harris has got a very realistic shot of becoming the next president of the United States. That could lead the Democrat Party to become a little bit more complacent in 2022 and open up an opportunity for Republicans to perhaps get a foothold back in this state. Do the Democrats have solid control of this state right now? Yes. Can it be lost? Yes, but they need to make sure that they have to stay as motivated as they were in 2018, going forward in 2020 and 2022. If they can lock it down, bring Sisolak in for a second term, bring in these supermajorities again in 2022, I think it's ball game for the Republicans at that point in time. It's time to move to Idaho.
Danny, are you packing your bags and heading to Idaho with James?
If I could figure out if there was a better place to go, that might be true, but I don't know that there is. I do agree with everybody about Kamala Harris. I think she's potentially the most formidable of the candidates. Female, Democratic candidate, not Hillary. That's a pretty nice thing.
Well, and she'll go toe-to-toe with Trump, and she'll get herself down to maybe a little step above his level, but she's not going to take the so-called high road, I don't think.
Nobody is anymore.
And, you know, but the thing is that's one of the things that the president is needed, is an opponent to turn around and say, buzz off.
All right, but when you look when you look at the number of people running on the Democratic side already, it's looking as crazy as the Republican side 4 years ago.
It'll be fun, America's Got Talent, Vice President Edition. You have a couple of people who are really credible to be the standard bearer for the Democratic Party, and then there's a whole bunch of people who want to be the running mate.
Yeah,
But you're still going to have the debates, and you're still going to have, are you going to see somebody running against President Trump?
On the Republican side? I've heard this rumor that Bill Weld is not going to run as a Libertarian, but he's going to run as a Republican against President Trump, and Bill Weld is going to get crushed.
No kidding.
Bill Weld might as well just jump in.
He should be right there with Gary Johnson.
Bill Weld should just run, might as well just jump in there and run on the Democrat side, because after all the things he did as a Republican governor of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, he looked like a really good Democrat when he was there. I think he probably just should jump into that race, and I think he probably has a better shot shot of winning the Democrat nomination than he does the Republican one. Outside of that, I heard Jeff Flake decided he wasn't going to run. Kasich is taking a commentator job with CNN, and they can have him. And that's, I don't think Trump's going to face significant opposition to a Republican, to renomination. That being said, Trump still has 6, 7, 8, 9 months to screw that up and draw an opponent, too. So we still have time. There's still an eternity when it comes to politics between now and the Iowa caucuses to see whether President Trump is unopposed on that ballot or not.
And then, Dan, we have Howard Schultz.
I find Howard Schultz to be an interesting fellow, but
you know, Sean just sucked in most of the air in the room.
I don't know. He's got the potential to really make a mess of it.
We'll give him a Starbucks. He'll be fine.
It's kind of fun because normally it's the Republicans that have this problem. We've kind of seen a reversal here now. Is Howard Schultz going to run as an independent and take votes away from a Democrat? Normally we're discussing this sort of thing with Republicans. Mm-hmm. So I'm fascinated to see how this plays out.
I don't think it's going to play out. I think that, first of all, Howard Schultz is Donald Trump in a better suit, number one.
No.
He is Donald Trump with an actual billion, with actual billions in the bank, who has demonstrated business successes. With that being said, he's also an oligarch. And we tried this whole run the government like a business thing, and somebody call Washington and see how well that's working out. The American people are not going to fall for it again.
Howard Schultz has to be willing to put himself out there like the president has put himself out there and be there to get all that criticism, all those complaints. His entire life is going to be scrutinized.
Yep.
The guy's a multi-billionaire. I don't know whether he even really, I think he's putting it up as a test balloon, but I think at the end of the day, he's going to back out of it and not do it. I really do.
I think maybe it's to sell a book.
Nobody would do that.
But what do you think about this idea? Because of somebody running for president as a business person, if you talk to business people, they are ecstatic about what Donald Trump has accomplished.
Well, they should be.
Over the last couple of years. So it's, those business people are not on CNN, MSNBC, and Fox News talking about how well they're doing because of the policies of the Trump administration.
Their employees and will walk out.
And you had Rob Hooper on here earlier this week from the Northern Nevada Economic Development Authority talking about the outreach from the Trump administration to local jurisdictions, bringing funds to the state that he's never seen before. So there's a lot of people out there that are not necessarily in the news who are very happy with what this administration is doing.
I think there are plenty of legitimate reasons to criticize Trump and his administration. The fact that he's a businessman, I don't think, is one of them.
Sean?
Six bankruptcies in? And yes, the economy is doing really well in the United States
now.
And I would say thank you, Obama, for that.
I wouldn't.
The fact of the matter is from a business perspective, has there been some pro-business things that have happened? Yes, there have been some pro-business things that have happened, but that doesn't translate into votes because the people who are voting are not necessarily the shareholders. The people who are voting are the people who are working for those companies. And you take a look at, and this growth is not sustainable in the United States.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Are you a homeowner who's interested in remodeling or building a home? At Design Outdoor, we can show you how adding natural or manufactured masonry stone can add beauty and value to your home. And we refer only the best contractors. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
One of the most psychologically damaging things parents can do to children in divorce is disparage one another. Which is why I can't believe I even have to make this commercial. Half of your kids' genetics come from this person you're spewing hate about. Your children have the right to love you both, but more than that, they deserve to love themselves.
Marilyn York might be a men's rights divorce attorney, but this is for every selfish parent. Shut up!
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. And a lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Back on Nevada Newsmakers with a great pundit show going. Dan Mason is here, Sean Carey and James Smack. Everybody gets 10 seconds to wrap up their thoughts here.
We might be a blue state now, but everything's always in flux. So hold your breath.
I agree. Sean?
Well, everything is always in flux, but it just goes to show that the people that live in the state of Nevada are changing. The demographics are changing and the priorities are changing, and it's reflected in our legislature, and I'm glad to see it.
James?
I really enjoyed watching greatness last night in the Super Bowl, and the congratulations to the New England Patriots on their sixth Super Bowl victory.
Oh, you are some strange kind of human. All right, thank you, sir. We'll see you on the next broadcast.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
On our next broadcast, the one, the only, Howard Rosenberg will join us. We'll see you then.